One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Understand that the gospel ministry is Jesus's rescue mission for sinners, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Out of many titles from the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, one of those that they use in a derogatory way is that he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners, that he sat and he ate with them. They did not understand his mission. And because of it, they were a legalistic club, exclusive only for the elite who conform to their superimposed laws that they had laid over the law of God. We're going to look at this today at Abounding Grace and look at Jesus's exposure of the attitude of the older brother in the parable commonly designated the prodigal son, so that we all together would enter the feast and rejoice in the Father's ultimate gospel-saving plan to reach to the ends of the earth and pull people out of the pit. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio today. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. On our website, there's also an address there where you could write to us and support us if you wish. You can do that right online. We're so thankful for your support. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Find us on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio and download the apps for your iPhones and your Androids so that you can listen at your convenience. So thankful to our listeners for your prayerful and your financial support. You're an encouragement to us, and we hope these messages reach out to these major population areas of the U.S. so that the gospel would be heard and understood, and that the name of Jesus Christ would be praised. This is part two today of actually a message that we aired all throughout this week on Luke chapter 15, in looking at the part of the prodigal son, the parable there, where Jesus treats the older brother and his attitude. This is so important for us, and we hope it's a blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
The contrast here is startling. Both sons are represented as alienated from the father. One, the profligate, the other, the moralist. What a moralist. And yet, only one comes to realize the need for the father. He goes to the servant. Explain this. Your brother has come home. And because your father received him safe and sound, he killed the fatted calf for him. What a moment. Imagine the excitement of the servant. Can you imagine the attitude of the son? He did what? My father is eating with him? My father has received him back? Is he using my portion of the inheritance? And now we see what Jesus is striking at here, don't we? This was the big problem the Pharisees had with Jesus. They were saying it his entire ministry. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. There was the charge. This guy hangs out with thugs. He eats with these guys. He associates with them. He's going out into Gentile regions. And he's getting their filth on him. He touches them, the lepers. He does everything against their unclean, clean laws. He goes into people's houses like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Are you kidding me? He makes a part of his inner circle of the 12, his closest communing circle, Matthew, the chief tax collector, a wretched, small, mokeek tax collector. You know what that all brought about? Brought about this. They said, no true prophet could do this. He has a devil. He's a Beelzebub. He's the ruler of demons. Jesus would come along and say, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God's on a rescue mission. And they stood furious with stones. The older son, so far removed from the father. Verse 28, he is angry. You notice it? Says it? He wouldn't go in. No, wait. The other one came in. This one won't go in. And he's in the house. Think about that. Farther going down the road, the same picture is that now the father runs out to meet this son. Look at the father. Look at the character of the father here. Look at how the father is depicted in this parable. The father goes out to meet this son. And in the mind of this son is, how dare you, father, receive him? Do you know what he's done? Do you know what he did to your name? Do you know what he did? He took your name. He dragged it through the mud. Do you know the shame he brought on our house? Do you know the shame he brought on your house and your name and everything you worked for, everything you taught, everything, all your principles, he just trashed. This is really sad that you've done this. To which you stop and say, did he ever love his brother in the first place? Did he ever himself go out and try to stop his brother when his brother ran? Did he ever run out and say, no, brother, don't do this. Don't do this with your life. He is furious at grace. You know, that's a Pharisee. The best definition of a Pharisee is somebody furious at grace. He was angry, verse 28, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. I mean, it's seriously like this morning, the supper, and the father, somebody's out at the door mad about somebody who's in here, and the father runs out and he opens up the door and he, come in, come on, son, come in. How can we open up the door wider for you to come in? Come into the house. Share in this joy. Share in my joy. What an amazing moment. As he is shaming his own father by not coming into his father's feast. It's easy sometimes to reach someone who has blatantly despised everything and lived in open sin, because once the famine hits, the conscience is so sensitive to the remedy, and they know what they've been, they know what they've tried, they know what they've done, they struggle with God's love, they struggle with whether God will receive them, but they are so sensitive in the conscience. And they well up because they know where they've been. It can be really hard being in the house. And we could delude ourselves in self-righteousness and be living quite far from the Father in the house. Have you thought about the picture that Jesus is painting? Come. Both sons. Come, son. Come in. You want to keep staying out there. Come. What are you doing with your life? Come. And now we're getting to the heart of his problem. The elder son is invited to the feast. Remember chapter 14, a great feast was planned, and the Lord invited many, and they didn't come in. So the Lord said, that's it. If they don't want to come, I'm going and getting others. Go out quickly into the streets. Go into the lanes of the city and bring in the poor, bring in the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Come in. They came. They came in. These foul ones, they came in the house. And here, even though this one ever came, he is pictured here. Even though he was in the house, never would come into the feast in the house, he is furious at grace. He thinks, how could God build his kingdom with people like this? This is the chaff that the wind should drive away. Verse 29 gets to the heart of everything tonight. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you, and I never disobeyed your command. You hear it? I have worked. This guy needs to make some kind of restitution before he's just received back in. You know, there would have been some kind of public humiliation. We looked at that this morning, ridiculing at the gate. There would have been used to this, shame. But you just embraced him. You just threw your neck on. You fell on his neck. And you gave him a higher status than me. You gave him my robe. It's my robe you threw on him. You already divided his portion. You notice the spirit? I worked. It's a legal spirit. I mean, think of this in connection with the parable of the workers in the vineyard, you know. Some started in the vineyard at the beginning of the day, and they, you know, then the Lord brings in workers at the very last hour. I mean, how do you make anything on anyone who comes in at 5 o'clock on a work day? You don't make anything on them. They didn't do anything to benefit you. But then the landowner gives them the same amount as those who had been in the vineyard all day long. You don't do that. I built this. I sweat. I worked. You see the legal spirit in you? Jesus takes it further. Lo, I have been serving you all these years, and hold on, I never transgressed your single command. Which one? Well, I can't help but think it had to have been the fifth. Honor your father. I did it. I was always there for you. Let me put it in our terms. Let me put this in our terms so that it helps us tonight. I always attended church twice. I sacrificed to put my kids in the Christian school. I never was down at the bars. I worked hard all my life. I maintained an honorable life. And you just received someone from our family and gave him a higher status than me, who left the church, got on drugs, wrecked their family, did nothing with their kids to train them in a Christian way. And now, after all that, you fall on that person's neck. Do you feel it? You threw your arms around someone like that. Everything I did was right. I tithed. But did you know your father? Did you love your father? you have any idea that being in the house was all grace to begin with? Do you understand your need, son, to come into the feast? You never gave me a goat. But when this son of yours came in, not my brother, I have separated out because they didn't do things the way that I did. I broke that fellowship because he didn't do it the way that I did. He just ransacked our house. But you gave him a goat and he's out celebrating with his friends. What am I doing with my buddies? He devoured it with prostitutes. Feel the thrust of that? And you gave him a calf. Father, you really do need to apologize to me. You really do. You owe me a giant apology. You've offended me by bringing trash back into our house. Boy, how do you think that went over among the Pharisees? And it can be so prevalent in us. Keep the filth off of our little block right here. How does the Father respond? Even to the self-righteous, son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. In other words, what have you ever lacked? I've been here for you, haven't I? I've provided. Where have I ever done you wrong? You tell me where I have ever done you wrong. You've had a place in my house. You've always been provided for. Kind of grace even to a Pharisee is Jesus telling us about. I mean, it's really remarkable. The Lord is extending grace to Pharisees. Guess what? We're all recovering Pharisees. Be thankful for that. And the final probing question of the parable comes out in verse 32. It was fitting to celebrate. It was fitting to be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he's found. Aren't you happy about your brother? We're so overjoyed in the house right now that he came home. Aren't you? Don't you want that? Isn't it right for us to have joy? Isn't that the goal? That he come home? Or would you rather him stay out there? Do you want him to stay out there? He was dead. But he's come home and he's alive now. And I'm full of joy. Heaven's rejoicing over this. He was going to go to hell, but he came home. Son, would you come into the feast and be happy with us? Come in. Jesus really did end this parable by making the point, and he's been saying it the whole time, that's God's attitude when a sinner turns and comes. Heaven has a ceremony of rejoicing. Jesus had been saying all along, I've come as light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. I don't want people to abide in darkness. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's the purpose I came. My purpose is to forgive sinners. My purpose is to free them. My purpose is so that you would know the truth and that the truth would set you free. And this is our mission. This is why we're here. This is what we're a part of. And you're part of the feast. But take heed you don't despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that's straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Son, aren't you excited? My son was lost and he's found. He was dead. He's alive again. Most commentators kind of freeze at this moment. There's no end. Did you catch that? There's no end to this parable. The problem with the parable is I want to know how this ends. I want to know when dad went to the door, if the older brother came into the feast. I want to know that. And did his attitude change? I want to know, did these self-righteous Pharisees come in? What was the response? You can't leave us hanging, Jesus. Is the son going to come in? Well, I suppose then you have a few options in terms of response. Phil Ryken just captures it when he says, for us, the most important question is how the parable will end in our own lives. How will I respond to the Father's welcome? Will I share my Father's joy by repenting of my sin and acknowledging that I am both the prodigal son and the elder brother? Will I share his joy by confessing my need for grace that he offers through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? How did this end? How do you want it to end? Well, wouldn't it be great if the older son heard that, fell on his knees, and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Father, I've sinned. And not loving my brother. I want to come in. And the father falls on his neck and he throws him around and he grabs a robe and he puts it on this son and both sons come in the house and they are married. Sadly, here's how it ended for the Pharisees. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. Then they said, hey, there's the heir. Come, let's kill him. Let's seize him and take his inheritance. So they took him and they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Even after we killed God's beloved son, whom he loved. He raised him from the dead. And today the father stands at the door and says, come, come in, come in. Let us never despise grace as he is building his kingdom, because he builds and fills his church, a church where you all should come with filthy, justified sinners, prodigals, just like you and me. Let's thank him tonight in prayer. Heavenly Father, when we think about where we would be apart from your wooing grace and you seeking and saving that which is lost through the blood and the righteousness of your son, we would still be in the pigsty, or we could be here every week and not know you. Oh Lord, I pray that that is torn down. If there's anyone here who doesn't know the Father and the Son and is just going through the motions and is not part of your building project and doesn't understand grace and is actually a despiser of it, that you would work powerfully in their hearts for them to see their sins. And that all of us together today would say, well, we've tried it all. We tried being the younger prodigal. We ran. That's our story in Adam. And we lived and we ended up at the bottom of the barrel. And then in the house, we have been the other prodigal son, for we've been despisers of grace. Fill us with the gospel spirit that as we come and gather around the great feast that you gave us this morning, anticipating the eternal feast, that such joy would fill all of our hearts together, and that we would praise the God of heaven and earth who called us out of darkness and brought us into this marvelous light, and be so joyful as the angels in heaven are when somebody else is brought into that kingdom and is made a part of this family. Thank you for instructing us in righteousness, and thank you for convicting our hearts, and may this week we love you and follow diligently after you, drawing near, knowing that you will draw near to us. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.